Welcome to Genesis Metro this morning. Last week we started a series called Greater Than, and we discussed how Peter made a mistake in his life and he denied Christ, and how he needed a God that was greater than his situation, a grace that was greater than his sin. And so this week we want to continue that series, and we wanted to talk about isolation versus community, and how that living in community is greater than living in isolation. And I know that a lot of us, we have that struggle of not wanting people to connect with us. And some of it's due to insecurity. Some of it's because we're self-reliant and we don't think we need people, which is really masked pride. Whatever it may be, I just hope that you would listen today and realize that Jesus Christ changed the world through starting one small group. One community group, they shared life for 3.5 years. And through that group, he started a church. And that church, for the last 2,000 years, has changed millions of people's lives. And so if Jesus thought the small group and the community group was important, then maybe we should consider it. Maybe we should consider that our life lived out to its fullest is lived inside of community. One of our church members just graduated and was able to get their anesthesiology degree. And we were over at their house celebrating with them that milestone in life. And while I was there, Justin Brown, one of our church members who's called Man of God. And what I love about our church is that you could just like throw a rock and hit someone in our church that has a great calling and anointing on their life. And they're just everyday church members, and you don't even know that they're just really awesome speakers as well. And we were sitting there, and he was sharing a story about his life group. And as he was sharing the story of a life change that occurred, I was like, man, that would be really awesome for our church to hear. So I love the flexibility of our church is that we heard this story Friday night, and I said, you know what? Called him up last night. I said, hey, I was thinking about it. You want to share that story tomorrow? And he's like, yes, I will. So talk about being put on the spot, if you will. That's the way I like to do it. And so without further ado, would you welcome Justin Brown to the stage?
Thank you. Good morning. I am pleased and honored to share an incredible story with you guys. Some cool stuff. You know, I think stories like I'm about to tell you happen in our church regularly, but behind the scenes. And so oftentimes it's really good for those to be brought to the forefront so that you can be encouraged and inspired about what God is doing and what he can actually do with you. I've been here for 10 years. They can't get rid of me. And so here I still am. And I was... had the privilege of being part of Kids Zone in the early years and being a leader in Fuse. And the church got to a point, basically, that we needed full-time youth pastors. And so that's when Lucas and Christine came in. They're doing a phenomenal job. But in my duty there, I became so close to so many teenagers. And so when I stepped out, I still tried to keep in contact with them. And regularly, we would all get together and play games and share with one another about where their lives are and what God is doing in their lives. And so about a little over a year and maybe 2-3 months ago, we were having a game night, and we were all sitting around. It's late. It's probably almost midnight. And everybody's kind of going around saying where they're going to school and what they're doing and all this other kind of stuff. And we get to one young lady, and it gets real serious real quick. She's sitting at the other end of the table from me. Her name is Maxine. And she goes, you guys know me. I've had my ups and downs. I've been for God and against God. You've seen my good and my bad. And I'm telling you, something crazy is going on here lately. Is that I've had some difficulty in my life, and so I've been offering it up to God in prayer. And it's like he's right here. Like when I've been praying, and God's been answering almost simultaneously within the day. She goes, I don't know what's going on, but I've never felt closer to God in my whole life. And so she's gleaming when she's talking about this. Then all of a sudden she pauses, and her demeanor completely changed. I mean, she went from the greatest of hope to like the lowliest of lows. And she was like, you know, here's the thing that I'm battling with. Deep in my soul, I believe that I'm never going to become who God wants me to be as long as I'm connected to my boyfriend. See, my boyfriend has no desire to have any part of God or be along this journey with me. And so I don't know what to do. You know, she just got done telling us about a fight that they had just before she came. And so I'm sitting there listening to this fight, and I'm thinking, girl, you better run. You know, that's what I was thinking to myself, but I didn't say it. And then I felt the Holy Spirit begin to whisper, and it's like, Justin, no, something else is going on here. See, she's offering these prayers up, and I'm answering them because I want to prove to her that I'm real, that she can call on me, and these other people that she's telling this to are going to begin to realize that I'm a God worthy of worship. And so I told her, I was like, Maxine, I said, you've been praying about this other stuff. You praying about your boyfriend? She was like, well, I don't know. Yeah, let's pray. And so we get sitting there talking. It was like, yeah. I said, so God's doing this in your life. I said, I think that you need to pray that if he's not going to come to salvation and the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, that maybe you should begin to part your ways. But maybe you've been placed in his life to be the light and the beacon and the direction that maybe ultimately he would come to know who Jesus Christ is. And so all of us there, and she's crying, we're crying. We all gather together. We begin to pray around that table that night about 12:30. And every person around that table prayed for Maxine and her situation. We began to pray for a young man named KJ. We didn't know KJ. We just heard the story that night about KJ, right? But here we are in unison. Because of our love for Maxine and our love for our Savior, we began to pray for this young man. And I'm telling you, that night, out of brokenness and love and passion for that man's soul, community was born. Subsequently, just a few months later, God would lay it on our hearts that we need to start a new life group. And God brought people to our life group very organically and very spirit-led that ranged anywhere from 20 to early 30s. Some married, some single, some believers, and several that weren't. But the one thing that they had in common is that they were hungry. I mean, they wanted to know about God. And so I thought, man, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to go over Bible doctrines. I mean, we're going to start from the beginning. I know we're just going to scratch the surface, but you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. And they're like, okay, let's do it. So every week, we would start going through these things. Now, when we started to pray for KJ that night, we just knew for sure that God was going to answer prayer, right? We had peace. We had joy in that moment that KJ was going to be at church that following Sunday. We just felt like, I mean, we felt good about it after we prayed, right? Well, come Sunday, we're all waiting at the door, waiting for him to come through. He didn't show. So we're like, okay, well, maybe you need to part your ways then. I don't know. Maybe this is what God's saying. Well, lo and behold, we find out later that KJ was at a family function, and he's talking to his uncle, and his uncle says, hey, man, you need community. You need to get yourself in church. You're messed up, right? So here he is. He goes, okay, well, that's how many people telling me this? I don't know. This is going to be culture shock. And so the following Sunday, he walks in. I'm telling you, he was a fish out of water. If you know this guy, he's an incredible man. I'm telling you, African-American man, he's got dreadlocks. I mean, he didn't fit our culture per se, right? But he's here, and he's like, okay. You know, and I go up to him, and he doesn't know who I am, and I run up, and I hug him. And he's like, who is this guy hugging me? I know he felt so uncomfortable, but I thought to myself, I'm going to hug this man every day he comes to church. And so we did, and the whole group almost did it. They went up and put his arms around him and said, hey, we're so glad that you're here. I don't know that we told him that we'd been praying for him, but he would find out later. And so every week he started to come. Well, when our life group kicked off, they were some of the first ones that we invited to come to our life group, and Maxine made sure that he was going to be there. So he came in, and the same thing, right? So it's okay. You can kind of fade into the crowd in a big group like this, but when it comes to a small group and there's only 8-10 people in a thing, is that, you know, he's kind of standing there. He's real uncomfortable, right? But when he came in, guess what I did? We hugged him, right? So we hugged him, and so he's there in our group, and at first he wouldn't say a thing. We were just happy that he was there. Maxine was happy that he was there. And at first, he wouldn't say a thing. But the one thing that he would do every week is he had a pad, a paper, and a pen. And, man, he would take notes like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he couldn't get enough of it. This is stuff that he never heard before. And about 6 months in, he starts to ask questions. And then he starts giving insight into Scripture that he had been reading outside of Life Group. I'm thinking, man, I got to call on this guy a little bit more. He needs to keep sharing because this guy's going some places. So back up here just a couple months ago. One night, it's Thursday night. We're all getting there. We're having food, cramming our faces, getting ready to dive into the Word. And he goes, hey, guys, before we ever get started, he goes, I think I'm ready. Like, what are you ready for? He goes, I want to close this tonight in prayer. And we're like, all our jaws, oh, what? Yeah, dude, that's awesome. Let's do it. And so we get all done, and I wanted to hurry up and get done with that night because I just wanted to hear him pray. So he prays, and this is like 2.5 months ago. He prays. I'm like, I know where this is going. God, you're doing some amazing things. I know where this is going. Last Thursday night, we had just been going over the life of Christ. We got done with the virgin birth the week before, and then we were going to talk about the crucifixion, and we got to ask it, and nobody had seen The Passion in our group, The Passion of Christ, the movie. All but one. No one had seen it. And so I thought, okay, let's do this. It'd be great for them to see a graphic depiction of what our Lord and Savior did on our behalf. And so sure enough, we showed it. Everybody's bawling. Everybody's a mess. And I thought, this is good. We need to share. Well, what does this movie mean to you? And everybody's like pouring their heart out. I was like, okay, this is what we're going to do next. We're going to have communion. We're going to break bread right now. This is God. God's doing something here. And so we're all having communion together, and it's about 10:30 at night. It's getting late. Like, these people got to go to work tomorrow. So I was like, trying to close it up. And KJ, he goes, hey, wait a second, guys. I got one more question. Okay, what is it? And as soon as he began to talk, his voice started to break. And I'm welling up already inside because I know what's happening. KJ starts telling a story about his brother. That many years previous, his brother had been shot and subsequently had been taken from them. And he began to connect all the dots in front of us about how this could have very easily been him. And he gets to the end of that story and he says, you know, he goes, I just want to know that I'm on God's side, like I'm right with God. Because I'm tired of being lost. I want to know. He goes, guys, I asked my buddies 2 weeks ago when we were driving around the car, how's a man get saved? And not one of them knew. Because when we were driving around, I thought to myself, there's one community I know that I can ask that question because they got the answer. And that night, I'm telling you, as soon as all this transpired, everybody in our group, that family that's not family, gathered around him and we all laid hands on him and he prayed the sweetest prayer of salvation you've ever heard. Giving his whole heart to Jesus, say, God, I am yours. Forgive me of the wrong that I've done in my life. I want to know that I'm with you, that I'm on your side, that you're in my heart. And we're all bawling, right? We're giving each other high fives. All right, man, we're so excited for you. And this little girl, right? She's not really a little girl. She's married. She's probably almost 30. But anyway, she was at retreat. The Shameless Plug for Retreat. Great things happened there. But she was at retreat, and we've been talking a lot about salvation this whole time because I know there's some that don't know Jesus, right? So she gets saved at retreat, and so she jumps out of her seat. She goes, "Don't it feel good? Don't it feel good?" And so he was like, "Yeah." So he gets up, and this guy is kind of reserved, very polite, awesome guy. He starts going around to everybody in our group, and he put his arms around him. He says, if it wasn't for you. And he'd walk over to the next person in line, and he'd say, I love you, if it wasn't for you. So he went around to everybody in our group, if it wasn't for you. And I'm telling you, we just got to watch what God did. But there's something to be said about community. See, KJ would tell you that before he ever came to church, he was very much to himself kind of guy. And slowly, through love, he began to open up, and his heart became receptive to the Holy Spirit. You know, back then, way back when this whole thing got started, we were all broken. And Maxine didn't have a whole lot of peace or joy about this whole situation. She didn't know what to do. But God had an unwavering plan. And something that some people have made some bad decisions in their life, and God connected all the dots, and he made something so beautiful out of something that seemed to be so tragic and so lost and so broken. Here, God can put all those pieces back together. Last night when Tim asked me to share a word, I began to kind of search the scriptures, be like, God, how do I put all this? How do I put it in a present and wrap a bow around it? He goes, I got a verse for you, and he laid this on my heart, and it's so powerful. He says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may find hope. See, I know for a fact this morning that some of you are enduring pain that you've never experienced before. Questions of why and how and what happens. But you know what? The Bible says that to the believer, to the person that knows Jesus Christ, that within his spirit, the Holy Spirit can impute and impart to you something that surpasses our understanding and is joy. And joy is found in being rooted. See, when a heart becomes united with God and a group of people can find community within that, right? And they're all together as one accord, something happens. Is that joy can be found because of our hope. In Jesus. See, God, his character, who he is unwavering and unaffected by the things that happen in this earth. That God is eternally good, always has been, always will be good. And that peace can reside in each of our hearts, regardless of our circumstances. We don't understand it, but it's a God thing. It says your peace has to be rooted, and it becomes imparted to you when you can hold fast to a faith. And you can't do that when life gets tough if you're not within a community. I ask you, maybe you're broken in your heart for someone in your community, your neighborhood, your family that doesn't know Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, through love, those barriers can be broken down. I want to conclude, guys, by telling you is that this isn't just for our life group, but it's for you and it's for this family. That together we're a community and we find unity of being of one accord. This church was founded to try to be like the church of Acts. And the one thing that the church of Acts going, and the reason why there was so much momentum is because they were connected together in one accord over and over in the book of Acts. It says they were of one accord. And when they were of one accord, the Holy Spirit permeated that place and nothing could hold it back. We love you guys, your family. Amen. We'll give it over to Lucas.
Man.
Every time.
I love hearing stories like that because it reminds us exactly why we, besides God leading us here, made the decision to come and be a part of GM on staff. Is because, you know, those are the stories that we heard as we spent late nights interviewing and talking with Tim and Carrie and with Sheila and Jeremy and the other staff and the other elders. It was just continuous stories of life change like that. And every one of them seemed to be focused and circled around that idea of community. And we talked a lot about this. And over the past 2.5 years that we've been here, that idea of community, that question of community has constantly been on our mind. Because we were among those people, and many of you are probably like this, where you thought you understood what community was. And then you came to GM. And you found these nosy, evasive people, right, who cared about you. And it's like, whoa, what's this? I didn't sign up for this, right? But then, like, the more time you spend with them, you realize, like, that's what love is. That they care about what's going on with me. It's not just that surface level, oh, how you doing? Good, great, see you later. Like, no, they want to know. They're ready to sit down and have that dialogue with you. And that wasn't something we were used to. See, in the past 2.5 years, I've kind of realized that I've never really known community until I got here. My parents did an amazing job of raising us in the church and raising us to know and to love God. And we had a lot of friends as a family, but we didn't have much community. We didn't have those people whose houses we go over to at night and we stay up late with them. We didn't have the people that we went on vacation with. I found out later, talking to my mom about the same thing, that she had a group of women that she would pray with when I was an idiot, which was a long time, and she's still praying today. And she kind of had people that she journeyed with through that, but for the most part, that was about it. And I kind of carried that thought into college and lived on my own by myself for 2 years in college after my roommate failed out of school. I pick them good. And I kind of lived in that moment. And it, you know, if you when you have no one around you, you are in trouble. And the likelihood of you falling, the likelihood of you kind of sinking under the water and resurfacing is not great. Because there's no one else there with you. And the reality is that everyone that I knew, I had friends, but it was all very surface level. And they didn't really know the severity of my struggles. The reality is that much of college, I was drowning, but no one knew. Because I didn't have community around me. Through a number of just crazy events that brought us out to GM from Odessa, Texas, we came out here just excited to see what God was going to do. We had heard the stories, and we knew where the church was, and we just, man, we know God's going to use us here. We're going to see some incredible things. We're going to do some incredible things. And when we first moved out here, we lived with my parents at Irving for about a month, 2 months. It was about 40, 45 minutes away. And we were waiting for our house in Odessa to sell and to find a house here that didn't cost $500,000. And, you know, we were just in search of all that. And so we were making the drive back and forth. And we get a text from Tim one night about 8:30. And he says, hey, we want to meet for coffee tonight. It's like a Friday night at 8:30. I'm thinking, like, that's cool, but, you know, I'm like 40 minutes away. I love you guys, but I don't really want to drive over there at night. He's like, no, it's no worries. We're already en route. Just pick a place to meet us. And I remember turning to Christine, and she's like, hey, we're going to go meet Tim and Carrie for coffee. She's like, what time is it? It's like, it's almost 9. She kind of looked at me, and our first initial thought is, what did we do? Like, the senior pastor and his wife are driving 45 minutes to come talk to us. We're in trouble, you know? Like, I said a joke I shouldn't have told a fuse or something. Like, I made somebody upset. And we began to talk, and we talked about all possible scenarios the whole time driving to Starbucks. And we sit down, and we're with Tim and Carrie. they could kind of see our unease, I think, and we kind of got to that part of conversation where they asked, like, yeah, okay, like, what do you think? And we're like, man, we don't really know. Like, we're a little nervous about why we're here. And they're like, you know, it's not like that. We really just wanted to have coffee and talk and get to know you guys. That was our first glimpse of community. And I could go on and on and share story after story, as I'm sure many of you could, about how you've experienced community at the church. But the big lesson that I've learned when it comes to this is that community was always available. I just never chose it. When I look back at the church I grew up in, people were there that would have been in community with me, but I did not choose to have that because I was comfortable in my isolation. It's like that old pair of jeans that we refuse to get rid of. That old t-shirt that we know is holy in all the wrong ways, and we need to throw it away. But we love our comfort. And isolation was comfortable to me. But then I got here and I experienced what community is. You see, because on our way out to Frisco, and as we moved out here, our mind was, this is going to be awesome. Like, there's some people here that need to encounter us. And that sounds so arrogant when you say it like that, but that's kind of your mind. It's like, God's bringing us here for a reason. The GM is in need of this position, and God's going to use us to do some incredible things. And man, the more I've set and the more I've wrestled on that thought that GM needed us to be here and GM needed us to do this, man, the more I've realized how wrong that thought was. Because the reality is that GM didn't need us. We needed GM. Because the people, all of you and the staff and the elders have begun to fill a hole that we never knew was there. Because they've shown us and represented to us what community is. What true biblical community is. So I think there's a lot of you that are in the same position I was. You think you know what community is. You even think you have community. But I want you to really think about that. Because we disguise ourselves with comfort. We justify our comfort. Well, this is just my version of community. The fact that no one even knows my middle name is just my version of community. No one needs to know that much about me. I promise you, you need people to know that much about you. You need people to be that close to you. You need people to have that window into your life. Because that day is going to come when life drops out from underneath you. And if there is no one there, if there is no one connected to you at that level that they see it, that they feel it, that they know it, there is no one to help pick you up. Because you see, that's what community is. That's what Paul meant in Galatians when he said to bear each other's burden. That's what it meant in Ecclesiastes when it said that two are better than one. We need people with us because we need the strength that it provides. God knows the journey is not easy, and so he puts people with us. He created community to help us, but we have to choose community. Community is crucial in our walk with God. Because everyone can give a testimony to the troubles of life. And the question you need to ask this morning as we close and the band's going to come out and we're going to worship a little more is, do you have community? I'm not asking if you have friends. Do you have community in your life? Do you have a connection with people that when your world falls apart, they are there with you without judgment, without hesitation? That's what I love about the story of the paralytic man in the Gospels. Here's a man born helpless. He physically cannot go where he needs to go. But he had a community because he had friends willing to pick him up and carry him. Because that's what community is. Community is people around you who can show you the way you can't see, who can pick you up when you can't press on any further. People who know you and love you enough not to judge anything you're going through because they know they've experienced it too. People who have the same connection with God you do, because that's where community starts. Do you have community? Can you look at your life and say, I know these five people who without hesitation will come to my aid. Without judgment will come to my aid. In fact, even when I don't want them there, they will be there because they love me. Do you have community? And church, most importantly, you need to ask yourself this morning, do you have that same connection with God? Because people can only carry you so far. Justin and his group can only take AJ so far. He had to discover that connection with God in order to truly understand, to truly feel, to truly experience what God has in store for his life. So if you will, stand with us. Reflect on that thought this